Some of y'all have heard this. Some of you haven't. A couple of years ago. 6 years ago. I know that because it was our 15th wedding anniversary. Deb and I went to Branson, Missouri for our anniversary trip. And on the way coming back from Branson, Missouri, we were concerned about the weather near the Great Lakes. So we were trying to find out what the weather was going to be near the Great Lakes. Now, this is our anniversary is in November. They get storms around the Great Lakes at the end of November. We were concerned. Didn't know what was going on. So we're asking. We're checking the radio. We're trying to check online to find out what the weather is up there. We're praying. Lord, we need to know what's going on. We need your direction. We need your guidance. So just as we were almost out of Ohio on the way back, got off the highway for a quick bathroom stop. There were three gas stations. I mean, there's four exits on four corners on the highway. There are three gas stations at this one exit. And as we're going to get ready to get off, a car passes us, had come the other way, and they come over to this, for some reason, came over to this gas station here on our right to go to for their gas and stop and whatever. And I noticed Vermont plates. Well, we haven't seen Vermont plates in 12 days because we've been gone, so... They pull in. We're right behind them. They stop at the pumps. I pull up next to them, toot the horn, wave, point back so they'll see our plates. So we park and go talk to them for a minute. And they said they had come from Hinesburg. We're in Ohio. They're from Hinesburg. And they said, yeah, we just came through. Do not go near Lake Erie. Do not go near Erie, Pennsylvania. There's a horrible snowstorm up there. Now, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. They've come from Hinesburg. So the options were they came partway the night before and drove through a bit of a snowstorm on the way there, or they drove all night to get that far over by 10 o'clock in the morning. And they're going to see their son in Cincinnati who's lived there for 4 years. And the verse comes to my mind. God says, before you call, I will answer. And I'm thinking, how far in advance did God provide this answer? Did he do it the 10 hours it took him to drive from Hinesburg? Or the 4 years that the son's been in Cincinnati to set up today? Or the son is in his 40s. So maybe the 40 years he's lived to get him to Cincinnati to have them coming to visit that day. Maybe go back. How far in advance has God heard and answered our prayers? We should never ever be anxious. We should never ever be overwhelmed, because we serve a God who knows what we need before we ever ask and has already promised to answer before we ask. Before you call, I will answer. And he's shown himself mighty in different ways like that all through our lives. If we'll go back and take a look at that answered prayer, well, what did it take to have that prayer answered that day? What all was involved in it? I don't know about you. That kind of boosts my faith. That kind of encourages me. That kind of thrills me that I have a God that's paying that kind of attention to the things going on in my life. Also kind of scares me because it means you can't get away with anything, right? Praise God. Amen. I want to talk this morning about following God. Just got four passages of Scripture. And each one of them actually goes back to... What was it we were singing? You know, the very first song we did was I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, all of these things. What have we gone through to follow Jesus? In Joshua 14, beginning with verse 6. There's not 16 verses in Joshua. But in Joshua 14, beginning with verse 6, says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. Now, Israel has 40 years wandering around in the desert, and they finally, after Moses died, Joshua led the children of Israel across into the promised land. You know, they go up against Jericho, and the walls come down when they followed God's battle plan, but they didn't keep it, so that's the Wednesday night Bible study we're doing. We're finding out about the sin of Achan. But as they've gone in and they've conquered what they were going to conquer of the land. So they've now been in the land for 5 years. And the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word of the Lord, the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. I wholly followed the Lord my God. I did what God told me to do." Continuing on, verse 9. "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here am I this day, 85 years old. And as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain which the Lord God spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there." Those are the giants. "And the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord promised." And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. And Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." God made a promise. First off, they sent the 12 spies into the land, and they went back, and Joshua and Caleb, two of the 12 spies, talked about how it was a good land and a fruitful land, and God was going to be able to deliver the people into their hands. But the other people said, "They're giants. There's big people in there. Walled cities, fortified. We can't beat them." And the heart of the people turned away, but Caleb said, "I followed the Lord God. I believed God was able to do it. And God has kept me 45 years, and now I'm ready for him to fulfill his promise. I have wholly followed the Lord." Don't you want to have a testimony that I've wholly followed the Lord? I've done exactly what God told me to do. I have been faithful to God ever since he made the promise until I see it fulfilled. Doesn't matter how many years passed. Doesn't matter what the situations are. Doesn't matter what's going on. God is able to do what he said he's going to do. Praise God. Praise God. I have a daughter that hasn't spoken to me in 25 years, but God loves her. And God is drawing her. And God is able to heal that relationship, and he's going to. And I have faith, and I'm standing in it. That even if I never see her this side of heaven, I expect to see her on that side of heaven, because my God is faithful. I am wholly following the Lord my God to do what he has called me to do, and the rest of it is up to him. I am willing to do what God said to do because I know God is faithful. Do you know that? Have you set your heart to follow God no matter what our circumstances are? I'm not saying it's easy. I guarantee you it won't be easy. But I also guarantee you it is absolutely worth it. Second passage of Scripture, 2 Kings 23, beginning with verse 1. Story always drives me crazy. 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now the king sent them up to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all of the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all of the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord." Stop right there for just a minute. The king is Josiah. He is 7 years old. He became king, and they were doing some house cleaning over at the temple and happened to find the book of the law. How do you find the book of the law, which you're supposed to be reading every day? How do you find something that the kings were supposed to write out their own copy so they would be very much aware of what it said? It was lost in the temple. It was lost in and amongst all the idols that they allowed to be in the temple. But in cleaning the temple, they found the book of the law. And when they found the book of the law, they took it to this 7-year-old boy king and said, "Uh-oh, we found this." And as they looked at it, they realized, "Oh, we have not been doing what God said to do." Continuing on, verse 3. Then the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all of the people took a stand for the covenant. The king said, "I don't know about you, we're following God. This is what the word said, and this is what we're going to do." 7 years old, he had the strength of character. He had the strength of courage, knowing who God was, to say, "We are going to do this." If you read the story of Josiah, you find out he went throughout the land of Judah. He's king of Judah. And he went throughout Judah, and he tore down all of the high places and all of the groves and all of the things, places that were set up for worship of idols in Judah. And then he went next door. That's the part that always gets me. When he got done cleaning up Judah, he said, no, there's some other people around here. They're related to us. They're the nation of Israel. It's not my kingdom, but they are my blood. And he went and began tearing down those idols as well. Clearing out that area as well. As we set our heart to follow God, we set our heart to be a leader of leading other people to follow God as well. Just as Caleb said, I followed the Lord with all my heart all of these years, 45 years, and now it's time for God to fulfill his word, to do what he's going to do, and I am fully assured that he is going to do it. Josiah says, they found the book of the law, and he read it, and he says, "We are going to do what God says to do." All of those under his influence. As the king. And then after he got done with all of those under his influence, sharing that influence, he started expanding, reaching out, tearing down altars, tearing down idols in the surrounding neighborhood, in the surrounding country. Having the boldness to go do what's right. You know what's right. You haven't done it. I'm here to show you that it can be done. Do we follow hard after God to the point where people say, "You can't follow Jesus. You can't live like that." Well, why not? Where is it written that I can't? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Not saying it's going to be pleasant. But when we follow hard after God, it makes a difference in our lives and the lives of people around us. Here's Psalm 63. David is in the wilderness, being chased by Saul. Just things are not going great for him. But he says in Psalm 63, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." God, it's like I'm in a desert thirsting, and I want you just as much as I want water. I want you just as much as I need nourishment. Verse 2, "So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." Do we give praise to God just because of the things he's already done? The promises he's already made, the way he's already worked in our lives. Do we give praise to God because he is worthy of it? Praise the Lord. Verse 4, "Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." Do we recognize the things God has provided for us? We got a roof over our head. Got food in our belly. Got air in our lungs. We have the ability to stand. We have the ability to talk. We have the ability to do so many wonderful things. Everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we have is a blessing of God. You know, if God didn't have a use for me, he could turn me into a grease spot. And if he hadn't had a use for me, he could have just let one of those other things that happened to me along the way actually take me out. But he didn't. He brought me through to today. And he has a plan for the rest of the days so that he has a use for me. He's called me to be a light and a witness. He's called me to reach out. He's called me to encourage other people. He's called me to encourage the body of Christ to try and bring unity. He's given me a gift. He's given me a vision. He's given me an understanding of what different things that need to be done. But he's given me a heart to care for people. He's done the same thing in you. He has gifted you specifically for tasks that are before you. And he arranges people into your inner circle. He brings people past you. He'll bring the next person that's across the pump at the gas station from you. Think about that. That's an opportunity. There's an opportunity there to speak and to say something. I don't know what you're going to say. God tells us not to sit there and plan it out, but that the Lord will fill our mouth. But look for an opportunity to share his love. Look for an opportunity to encourage somebody. Look for an opportunity to just greet somebody. So many people in this world are lonely. So many people in this world are desperate. So many people in this world have no hope. If you show up with a smile, you've already brightened somebody's day. If you show up with a cheerful countenance, you can encourage people just in the little simple things you do. The things that we do are to bring a glory to God because we are his ambassadors. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. The mouth of those who speak lies will be stopped. David says, I follow you. We know David wasn't perfect. You can look at his later life. You know about the sin. You know he was a man of blood and God would not allow him to build a temple. But he was a person who had a heart after God. Person who was after God's own heart, Scripture tells us. Because when David was confronted, David repented. It's not that he never did wrong. He was willing to say, I am wrong. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. God, there's still a chance. Remember when David committed the sin of deciding he allowed himself to get talked into doing a census of Israel, counting all the people. Don't know for sure why they decided to do it, but they decided they were going to do that. And God said, shouldn't have done it. They're not your people, they're my people. So that's the first part. And the prophet came to him and says, you choose. Three choices. One of them I don't remember. I think it was a drought, but I don't remember. The second one was to run, you know, to always fall before your enemy. Or the third was to let God send a plague on the land. And he chose to let God send a plague on the land because God is merciful. Because God will relent. Man will not relent. God will relent. He said, I had rather fall into the hands of a God who's mad at me, but is a merciful God, than to fall in the hands of men. Do we trust that God loves us and God cares for us and God is watching over us no matter what's going on? I do. I do. I hope you do too. So here in Psalm 63, he says, my soul follows hard after you. Caleb said, I'm following hard after you. In 2 Kings, Josiah was following the ways of the Lord his God. John 21, last passage of Scripture, John 21, beginning with verse 17. He, that is Jesus, said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourselves and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one that betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said, "If I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We have been called to follow the Lord. We started singing, "I have decided to follow Jesus." It doesn't matter if none go with me. It doesn't matter if, you know, what's happening around me. Peter said, Jesus was telling Peter, "You're going to end up being crucified. The world behind me, the cross before me," is one of the verses in that song. Peter looked around and he saw John. He said, "But what about him?" How many times do we do that? "Lord, how come I have to do such and such and somebody else doesn't?" You don't worry about them. You worry about you. It says in 1 Corinthians, says, "Who are you who judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand because God is able to make him to stand." Let God worry about them. I have to follow Jesus. I suggest you do. I have to. I can't make you. But I can tell you that God is able to get your attention. He's able to draw you. He is able to work in your circumstances. And He's able to take down the barriers that we throw up in our hearts. He is able to take this stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. He's able to take you from a mean, vindictive, angry person and make you a loving person. I know He's able to do it. He's done it in me. He is able to completely turn a life around. I know He's able to do it. He's done it in me. I've seen it done so many times. God is able to completely touch and change a person's heart, a person's life. He is worth following. I plead with you, follow God with all your heart. Don't worry about the circumstances. Don't worry about the situation. God says, "Before you call, I will answer." Lord, we trust you to guide us. Even as David said in the Psalm, "My soul will be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." Lord, you take care of me. You provide for me. I worked at immigration for 18 years. 2 years as a contractor, 16 years as a federal employee. In that time, I was promoted 8 times. Every last one of them, even getting in the door, was God's provision. Sometimes He gives us the ability to do the job. Sometimes He gives us the ability to cry out to Him for help doing the job because the job overwhelms us. He is still at work, and He is still worth following, and He is still leading and guiding and directing our steps. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have shown yourself mighty in so many different ways. And, Lord, as we stand before you, giving praise to your name, we just thank you, Father, for all that you have done. You have been mighty in our lives. You've been mighty in our circumstances. You have been wondrous in all of your ways. And you are worthy of our praise. And you are worthy, Father, that we should follow you and follow hard after you, follow you with our whole heart and with our whole soul. Lead us, Father, and continue to direct our steps. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.